Something rather incredible is taking place in the events described in our scripture for this morning. Jesus has made his triumphant entry into the holy city of Jerusalem. But in the matter of a couple of days, we read that the chief priests and scribes are trying to find a way to destroy him. And by the end of the week, they have succeeded. By the end of the week, the crowds who cheered him on Sunday have turned into a mob on Friday and are screaming for his blood, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I would like for us to understand exactly what happened, the meaning and the implications of what is going on is one of the most significant things that has ever happened in the world. It has incredible implications today for you and for me. Now let's remind ourselves of some background. Ask yourself, where did the Jews come from? Ask yourself, how did they ever get started? And what was this chosen people of God all about? Surely God didn't choose them just to ignore the rest of us. To answer those questions, we must go back into the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. There we discover that God is about to do something absolutely spectacular. He is about to begin the process of initiating what we call special revelation. Special revelation. Since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, God has been known only by general revelation. That is, in the world in which we live, the reality of God's character is revealed in a general way. For example, in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we read, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." And then St. Paul adds, "So they are without excuse." That means simply that there are some things about God that are revealed in creation. We see His majesty in the mountains, His power in the roll of the sea. We see His glory in the stars and the moon and the sun. We see His creativity in a tiny baby, His beauty in the flowers. And all about us is the evidence of God. But now God is about to do something spectacular. He is about to begin to reveal Himself in all of His love, His mercy, His goodness, His forgiveness. He's about to make Himself known as a loving Father. A Father who seeks His lost and erring children. And you can't know that from looking at the world. How will He do this? He will choose a person, and He'll make a contract, a covenant, an agreement with that person. And through that person, God will begin to create a special people. And He will begin to reveal Himself directly in all of His holiness, His justice, His mercy, His love. We call that special revelation. And as God makes Himself known to His chosen people, they are to make Him known to the rest of us. They're to be His chosen instruments for telling the world something it's never known, that God is love. You see, you can't look at a mountain or a sky or a sun or a valley of flowers and know that God loves you. You can't see those things and know God wants to forgive you. You can know that only if somehow God tells you. And that's the story of what happened in Genesis 12. God calls a man who's to be known as Abraham. And God says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I will bless you, and your name will be great. So God's chosen people will have special blessings. But then God adds, and by you, all the families of the earth, all the families will be blessed. So the Jews were to be missionaries. They were to be the tellers of God. They were to be the revealers of God. And down through the centuries, there was a growing promise. Someday a Messiah, a Savior, would come into the world through God's chosen people. He would be a wonderful Savior. As the prophet Isaiah wrote of Him, He would bring good tidings to the afflicted. He would bind up the brokenhearted. He would proclaim liberty to the captives. And He would open prison doors to those who were bound. And He would comfort all those who mourned. And one day Jesus read that from Isaiah. And He said, this day has this scripture been fulfilled. When John the Baptist was born, his father, Zechariah, prophesied that the time for the Messiah had come, and his son, John, would go before the Lord to prepare the way for the Messiah. And what would the Messiah do? Zechariah said he would give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, he said, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness. And who is sitting in darkness? The Gentiles. To give light to those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. Yes, the full, the perfect, the final revelation of God. And the prophet back there in the Old Testament said he's going to come riding a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then, when Jesus came, the same John the Baptist said of Him, behold, there He is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so after all those centuries, the promised Messiah had come. And then one day He went riding into Jerusalem, riding just like the prophet said He would, on a donkey. And the people cried out, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God created for Himself a special people. He would bless them. But above all, He intended to bless the whole world through them. And now the grand moment of history had come. For through the Jews, the promised Savior had arrived. And that's what all that business about the donkey was. The Bible said the Messiah would come riding a donkey. So here came the donkey with the Savior on his back. And the people cheered. And they waved palm branches, and some even laid their coats on the road so the donkey could walk on them. It really was a big event. But something was wrong. Something was terribly wrong. Let me see if I can help us understand it. In Herod's famous temple in Jerusalem, there was a special courtyard next to the temple. It was called the court of the Gentiles. That's the rest of the world. It was put there to remind the Jews of their historic obligation to be God's blessing to the nations of the world. It was there to remind them that they were to be blessed in order to be a blessing to the Gentiles, to everybody else. And that's the only reason God ever created the Jews in the first place. They were nothing special in themselves. The only reason they were special was because God chose them. And the only reason He chose them was to be His instrument, a special revelation to tell a world that was lost that He loved them. So the temple had a court of the Gentiles, where the Gentiles could come and stand near the temple, the Holy of Holies, and hear the Jews praying for them. And when they heard the Jews praying for them, they would know that the Jewish God was really the God of the whole world. And they would know that God loved them too. And when Messiah came, they'd all be blessed. But do you know what Jesus found when he got to the court of the Gentiles? They had rezoned it. They had turned it into a commercial enterprise. The priest had made the court of the Gentiles into a stockyard and a money exchange and a bazaar for the tourists who came to Jerusalem. And that meant the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees didn't care two figs about the Gentiles and the purpose of the covenant. Jesus was furious. The Bible says he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seat of those who sold pigeons. And do you remember what he said that day? He said, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations?" Did you catch that? He said the temple was to be a house of prayer for all nations. And the Jews had not done that. They thought they were special because they were special to God. But God said they were special to Him because they had a special job to do. And had corrupted the court of the Gentiles. And do you know something? When you don't do your special job, you're not special to God anymore. Did you realize that? The Jews had already been warned. John the Baptist said to them, "Bear fruit that befits repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I'll tell you, God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham." And then John added this terrible warning. "Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And does that remind you of anything? Does it remind you of what Jesus did after he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey? The Bible says, "And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it." And that fig tree represented Israel. That's what the Jews were all about. They were meant to bear fruit for God. And then the Bible says, "When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves." Isn't that what was happening to the Jews? Nothing but show. Nothing but pomp and circumstance. Nothing but leaves. No fruit. And then Jesus said, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." Oh my. Oh my. Do you remember what happened? The Bible says as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Well, that was an acted out parable for the Jews. For the Jews, that was it. Early in his ministry, Jesus had made a prediction. He had said, "Many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness." Now that prediction had come true. The sons of the kingdom were thrown into outer darkness. The fig tree was withered. It was dead. So were the Jews as a special people of God. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told immediately after what we read this morning? You can look it up when you get home. He told the story of the wicked tenants who wouldn't pay their landowner. The landowner would send his servants to collect the rent, and they would beat them and abuse them and send them back empty-handed. And finally, the landowner said, "I'll send my beloved son." And they saw him coming and they said, "Here's the son." They said, "We'll take him and kill him and the land will be ours." And Jesus said, "What will the owner of the vineyard do?" He says, "He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others." Well, that's what our text for this morning says. that the religious leaders wanted to do. They wanted to destroy Jesus. He was saying some ugly things about them. And do you know, just like Jesus said, God gave the vineyard to you and to me. The people of the vineyard today are the Christian church. You and I are a part of God's chosen people today. We are the descendants of Abraham spiritually. And we're special. We're blessed. But God still calls His people to bear fruit. He still calls them to witness in the world. He calls you and me to holy living. He calls us to righteousness. He calls us to obedience. He calls us to loving kindness. He calls us to be the people of God. Long ago, the king came riding. The Jews laughed because they thought they made it rain on his parade on Good Friday. But they were wrong. It rained on their parade instead. And today we celebrate the King come riding. But He comes to look at your fig tree. He comes to look at mine. And will He find any fruit there? And what will we do if it rains on our parade? Let us pray.